The economic realities facing today's pre-retirees and retirees are vastly different from those of previous generations. Today, we have steps to help you navigate the new retirement and ensure that nest egg lasts you to and through retirement. That and more coming up.
Welcome in to Your Retirement with Sam Jones.
Welcome to Your Retirement. I'm Chuck Caton, along with a full studio for Dual Financial Strategies, with over a quarter of a century of experience getting you to and through retirement. And, of course, we're talking about Sam Duell, Andy Schooler, and Luke Van Abel. And they have those two offices, as you know, in the Fox Valley, in Appleton, and in Green Bay to serve you. And their phone number is 866-203-7486. And it's always a pleasure to visit with you, Sam, Andy, and Luke. And we know that retirement has traditionally been viewed as a well-deserved time for relaxation and enjoyment after a lifetime of hard work. And the days of pensions and economic stability and low interest rates are long gone. Hopefully some of those come back, the low interest rates, of course. So I think, Sam, you want to tackle some of the statistics here, as you said before the break.
Yeah, probably just starting out with what the numbers are out there. I mean, basically, through 2027, there's going to be about 4.1 million Americans that are going to reach the age of 65. So you start thinking about those numbers and thinking about the pressure and the strain that's put on the system. It's amazing. That would mean that there could be around 11,000 Americans retiring every day of the year. 11,000 people. So think about that. Think about the area we live in with the, you know, the Fox cities. Like if we take all of the towns in the Green Bay area that surrounded all the towns that surround the Appleton area, I think we're what, guys, around 250,000 people, maybe something like that in that neighborhood. So if there were 11,000 people a day, that would mean that the entire population of the Fox cities would retire in 12 or 14 days.
Right.
So think about that. I mean,
that's amazing.
Oh, it's staggering. Yeah. Just think about the numbers are just staggering. And the reality, though, is that for many pre-retirees today, that traditional retirement age of 65 no longer applies, whether it's just because they don't want to, they can't, or they're just not inclined to quit. So part of the reason that that's happened is because company paid pensions are a thing of the past. I mean, those haven't been around forever. There's reduced employer support for retirement savings. Those are significant factors. And 7 out of 10 of you that are pre-retirees believe that you're going to face more challenges in retirement than your parents and grandparents did. And friends, this brings about a whole new era in retirement planning. And to let you in on a dirty little secret about the industry that we live and work in every day, the financial planning industry, insofar as your retirement is concerned, is grotesquely and hopelessly outdated. The vast majority of people that are out there today are still living in a world that existed 10, 12, 15 years ago, whether it be from risk analysis, whether it be from portfolio allocations, whether it be from income strategies, whether it be from tax mitigation. It is hopelessly mired in the past. If you're not working with a firm that focuses on retirement, we don't focus on growth and accumulation. We do not focus on 401k plans for your grandkids. We don't focus on one single thing like a product. We focus on retirement planning and everything that goes with it. It's all we've done, Chuck, for the last 24 years. And that knowledge, along with using all of the most modern methods that there are and living in the real world, that's what's going to get all of our listeners to and through retirement.
Absolutely, Sam. And so we're going to take a little closer look now, and we talk about what steps can be taken to help ensure that your plan, ladies and gentlemen, because Sam's talking about retirement planning, how will it support you in your retirement years? And we're going to start with the topic, Andy, of diversifying your portfolio. How important is that?
Well, it's incredibly important, but we should probably clarify that to what does diversification actually mean? Because so oftentimes we see so many people come into us, and when we do an analysis, for instance, with Riskalyze, and we're looking at the correlation between your different funds that you own, because most of you come to us owning mutual funds, it's an illusion of diversification. So we're not just talking about having different mutual funds or different funds. What we're really talking about is different asset classes. So spreading your money between these different tools, if you will, can make a much greater impact than just different funds. And so that's where I think a lot of people get confused. We call it the illusion of diversification, because so oftentimes you might have, and we've seen it countless times, where you come in, we run the riskalyze, we see that you've got so much of the same thing. Yeah, yeah, you'll have a bunch of different funds, but they are all effectively doing the same thing or in the same spot in the market. So if large cap goes down and you're primarily in large cap, but you have a lot of different funds, well, guess what? All of those are going down. So it's that illusion that we're trying to avoid, to make sure that you actually have assets that are spread out and truly diversified across asset classes as opposed to just different funds.
And now, I think where people make a mistake at too is that they start thinking that only the market is diversified. They think of the market as the asset class, and it's not. It's like it's just 1/6 of everything. Like the stocks are an asset class, bonds are an asset class, cash is an asset class, CDs are an asset class, annuities are an asset class, real estate is an asset class.
Yeah, and if you own a variety of different mutual funds, how much overlap is within those mutual funds, right? Because you're just owning different stocks.
That's all you're doing.
Yeah.
That's all you're doing. Like you know, there's what, 17 to 20,000 different mutual funds that are available today?
Yeah.
Well, all of them can't own Apple differently.
Right.
It's like you either own Apple or you don't own Apple. So.
Exactly.
And that's so important when you talk about the illusion of diversification. You got to nail that down, ladies and gentlemen. And that's where, of course, Dual Financial Strategies can aid you through that. So, Luke, how important is it to incorporate your guaranteed income sources as well to give you some stability in your retirement plan?
Well, it's paramount. I mean, while you're working, you've got regular income coming in. Once you're retired, you're voluntarily unemployed, so that income's going to need to come from somewhere else. And it's less about net worth. A lot of times people will tout, well, I've got X amount in net worth. Well, net worth isn't going to get you the income you need to replace your working income. So you've got to consider different tools. You've got to consider maybe using life insurance, maybe using market-based tools, maybe it's an annuity. It all depends on what your goal is. But in particular, for that money that you need for food, clothing, shelter every single month, you're probably going to want to focus on something that's a bit more stable, a bit more regular, a bit more maybe guaranteed, depending on your appetite for risk. And so don't overlook some of these other options that exist. It's crucial that you keep an open mind and make sure ultimately that your income needs are being met to and through retirement.
Absolutely true. And again, another key to looking at the steps that can help you ensure your plan will support you in your retirement years, Sam, is maximizing your benefits from recent legislative changes. What are we talking about there since the pandemic?
Well, the biggest thing that we look at in some of these legislative changes is the ability to have increased contributions for your health savings accounts, for your 401ks, for your IRAs, all of those different types of things. That's what we're generally looking at there. So if you're in a mode where you're trying to play catch up, you're trying to get more money into those types of accounts, this can be very beneficial for you. So the one thing to remember there, though, Chuck, is you need to be working with someone who can guide you on where to best put the money. Here's one of the mistakes I see made often, and this happens all of the time when people come in from other advisory firms. Nobody is talking to you about maximizing tax-free money in the form of either your Roth contributions or in the form of savings that you've already paid taxes on. And they're not talking to you about HSAs. These are two of the most important things that you're going to need when you retire, particularly if you're going to retire pre-65, because you have got a gap now where you're going to have insurance. And if you're going to have insurance, then you're going to have to try to qualify for Affordable Care Act, Obamacare. There are income limitations for those types of things. And if you don't have your ducks in a row, and if you don't have the right pots of money to pull from that do not contribute to your taxable income, you're going to be in trouble. So we want to talk to you when you come in. Specifically, when you come into us, you need to be letting us know if you're going to be retiring before age 65, and if we're going to have to build some sort of an income health insurance bridge for you to get you to age 65.
All right. And finally, very quickly, Andy, planning for part-time work if you want, because I think a lot of people don't realize they've got a lot of time to fill and they may have some regrets about fully retiring and they may want to do something part-time.
Well, I think one of the things to keep in mind is that oftentimes so much of our time is spent, I mean, it's literally 2,500 hours a year that you are with other people. And hopefully you like those people. And for a lot of people, that is your social outlet because you might go out for drinks or dinner or lunch or, you know, whatever. And so, you know, the possibility of getting a part-time job if you need a little bit of an income gap covered, or the possibility of just maintaining some sort of social activity, I don't think there's anything wrong with doing something that you enjoy part-time to keep yourself busy, occupied, moving, doing something. You know, Sam's jokingly talked about going to work on a golf course and or driving cars for what's that?
Who is joking?
Fair. All right. Well, y'all heard that one.
Going to a golf course. Did I say the word work in relation to? I don't know if I
did. You
did
last week. You were talking about picking up golf balls.
That's true.
You didn't want to get there early to cut the grass. You wanted to just drive the little cart thing.
That's a good point. Driving the little cart thing. Yes, yeah. I'm up for that. So if any of the golf courses are looking or interested, let me know.
Because you have so much extra time yourself.
Because I'm just loaded with spare time.
Well, it is true, though, that you've got to occupy that time, and why not do it with something that you enjoy? And one of the things I enjoy is being with Sam, Andy, and Luke each and every week to talk about what they can do for you. And basically, it's all about a retirement lifestyle review that they can provide for you at no cost, no obligation, either at their Green Bay office or their Appleton office. So it's up to you. It's incumbent upon you to make that phone call because it's a no cost, no obligation sit down with them to determine where you are in retirement. And of course, we're talking to those of you, primarily we're about 5 to 7 years away from retirement. If you don't already have a plan, or if you're looking for a second opinion, Sam, Andy, and Luke can give you a good one with their experience of almost a quarter of a century in doing this for people in the Fox Valley. So give them a call at 866-203-7486. That's 866-203-7486. You'll be happy that you did, because that retirement lifestyle review will be worth a lot to you, because it's all about your retirement. It's not about your next door neighbors or your relatives or friends. It's you, and it's custom for you. Right, Sam? And we've got to take a break. What's coming up next?
Well, next, we're going to talk about that thing called AI. It seems like everybody is jumping on that artificial intelligence bandwagon these days. So we wanted to talk to you a little bit about what does that mean for the future of financial planning. We're going to break it down for you right after this.
We are back on Your Retirement. I'm Chuck Caton, along with Andy Schooler, Luke Van Abel, and of course Sam Duell of Duell Financial Strategies. They've got offices in Appleton and Green Bay, and in case you missed that phone number before the break, remember it's 866-203-7486 to get that appointment, to make that no-cost, no-obligation sit-down with Sam, Andy, or Luke to discuss your retirement. And now I'm going to be confused, so Sam, Andy, and Luke are going to try to help me out with what about AI? Because if you're hearing about AI a lot, we understand it. I guess it's a hot topic in the conversations about the various functions that impact the industry and whatever you're in the short and long term, probably is overwhelming. I don't know a lot of it, just like I don't know a lot about Bitcoin. But before you jump on the AI bandwagon completely, it's not the case across the board, because particularly not for financial advisors or retirement planning, because AI programs that have been credited with helping to advance streamline efficiency seem to have a little bit of an Achilles heel. It's not perfect, or an area of weakness, let's put it that way, that even ChatGPT, which can't even tell you what that's all about, but Sam will, finds it very challenging, because but 31% of pre-retirees and retirees are considered financially illiterate when it comes, Sam, to retirement planning, including a recent study that was done by the American College of Financial Services. So let's talk about this. What is ChatGPT? What does it stand for? And how is it different in retirement planning? First, what does that ChatGPT stand for? That seems to be an acronym that confuses me each and every time I hear it.
Yeah, it's artificial intelligence. So ChatGPT means chat generative pre-trained transformer. So basically what that is, in simple terms, if you get rid of the geekism on it, it's a program. And it uses information from thousands and thousands of sources on the internet, text in books, websites, and other sources, but it's all coming from the internet. And it's supposed to be learning prompts, patterns, instructions, so that you can ask it a question and generate a response with that requested information. And then it'll deliver that back to you within the way that you wanted to have it. But because only about 31% of pre-retirees and retirees are considered financially literate, that means that 69% of you do not consider yourself to be particularly literate. So the first challenge there would be, okay, I don't even know what question to ask it. And the second challenge would almost even allude back to what I was talking about in the previous segment, Chuck, in that we are not admittedly jumping on this this ChatGPT AI bandwagon for solving retirement planning questions for you. And the reason for it is this. So much of the information that's out there on the internet today is hopelessly outdated. It just is. I see it all of the time when we do
web searches. Or it's just flat wrong.
It's just wrong. You know, Mark Twain was famous for saying that it ain't what you know that hurt you, or it ain't what you don't know that hurt you. It's what you know for certain that just ain't so. Here's an example. Suze Orman, God bless her. I don't know her, but God bless her. She's made a bazillion dollars giving you advice that in a lot of cases was just blatantly stupid. But she has always said, well, you have to have $1 million to retire. And we have always said that's just nonsense. That's the most ridiculous nonsense there is on the face of this planet. Your amount of money you need to retire is reflective of what your spending lifestyle is. It has absolutely nothing to do with anything other than that. So there's a lot of information that's out there, folks, that will lead you in the wrong direction. But that's what they're trying to do, is to go with this artificial intelligence, ChatGPT, and use it towards retirement planning. And I'm not going to discount it. There probably will come a day when you can speak into your computer and have the perfect financial plan spit out on your printer, but I don't think it's today, and I think it's a ways off.
Yeah. Well, with that in mind, about 4,000 adults, Andy, aged 50 to 75, of which I'm in that group, have participated in a survey, although I didn't participate in it, for the past decade, while the 2023 study showed that bleak finding that we talked about before, that Sam talked about 31% of pre-retirees consider themselves financially illiterate. The highest financial literacy score, the literacy scores hit about 50%. So, how, you know, what's this all about? They thought the same thing about ChatGPT, but why do you think people are becoming more aware of that, even though we don't really use it that much? And of course, as Sam just alluded to, the information is faulty.
Right. So, you know, from a standpoint of, I think it's important that you are comfortable with whomever it is that you're working with. And so I think a lot of us, I'm in the category also. It's just like when you pick up a phone and you call somebody and you'd like to talk to a human being. Mm-hmm. For most of us that are in this age group that are looking at retirement planning, I think most of us are far more comfortable speaking to a person, a human being, and then really finding someone that you mesh with and that your philosophies mesh together and that you're both looking for the same thing, success in retirement. So there is a difference between growth and accumulation and retirement planning. And there's a bunch of different gotchas that are in the retirement world. And someone who focuses primarily on the growth and accumulation is not necessarily the person that you want to work with. We hear this time and time again. It's not that they're a bad advisor. It's just that their focus is not specific to retirement planning. And so, you know, ChatGPT is going to be here in some sort of way or another. And whether you choose to use it or not, I think it all, again, comes down to what ChatGPT is seeing on the internet, and that goes back to the programming. So whoever's got the loudest mouth is potentially putting information into ChatGPT. Is that who you're going to trust? I don't.
I think it's relative, too, that you should ask your advisor when they're putting together plans, where is this coming from?
Yeah.
Is this AI-generated information? Is this generated from, you know, like us with a quarter century of experience? It's like, where is your information coming from? Is this coming from hands-on, that you've done this thousands, tens of thousands of times? Or did you just ask a computer what its opinion of this was?
Incredible. So let's talk about something that's happened here, Luke, with ChatGPT. Surprising results that came from Retirement Income Certified Professional Designations, which, again, you can explain to our listeners, because there is a designation among financial planners that make it such that you need to meet a professional like those at Dual Financial Strategies. ChatGPT could not reference previous answers, and this time the results were more acceptable. ChatGPT was only wrong once, they said, and scored a 92. Do you really believe that it got a 92 on its exam of veracity, Luke?
Well, I mean, they say that ChatGPT has passed the bar and passed all sorts of other exams.
Yeah.
But it sounds like earlier results, you know, came in at about half of that 92%. And then later on, they made some adjustments and then it came in at 92.
Only if it referenced a specific course, though.
Yeah. If it referenced a specific course, not everything in its entirety.
General, right.
So, you know, it's still in its infancy, right?
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
To your point earlier, Sam and Andy, you know, this technology is not going away. It's going to be here. And maybe someday it will do everything and more that they say it can do. But for now, it's still new. And so, no, it's not surprising that those were the results. It's going to take time. And for now, I think, what are you looking to put your trust in?
Yeah.
Are you looking to put your trust in a technology that may or may not be able to be manipulated by the information and the inputs that are there on the internet?
Yep.
Or are you looking to work with somebody that has experience, that has done this day in and day out for nearly a quarter of a century?
Absolutely true. So that, Sam, is what makes the human element of retirement planning so necessary to retirees and pre-retirees, right? I mean, you can't replace what you guys do at all with any chat AI ABC XYZ type thing.
You know, Chuck, we've seen this time and time again over the years. You know, it used to be that the stock market was run with ticker tape, right? I mean, it was just, it came out of the machine, and mm-hmm. that's how they read the quotes. And then computers came into play. It used to be that we'd sit down to do a financial plan. A lot of the stuff was done, you know, with a calculator and a legal pad. Well, now we have all sorts of different programs, like Money Pro, all of the different types of programs that we use to have as much technology as is necessary, but not relying on the technology to get to the heart and soul of what you're doing. Because at the end of the day, you're people, and you have a life that you want to live, and you have hopes, and you have goals, and you have dreams, and you have fears. And this is not something that can be put into, you know, when you come into the office, I can't speak into the ChatGPT program and say, hey, Bob and Mary are worried about running out of money in retirement. What should we do about that? Well, there's no emotion involved in that. It has no idea what to do about that. You can't react instantaneously. I had a case just a week ago where one of my clients was going to retire at a certain date, changed her mind. She's now going to retire at a different date. Well, that changed three different elements of what we were planning to do just by that one decision to change a retirement date. It changed an element of when we would turn on Social Security, which changes the element of when we would need to apply for Social Security. It changes the element of when she would go on, not when she would go on Medicare, because she's still working past the age of 65, but it changed the deadline dates of when she had to sign up for Medicare so that she did not incur that 10% lifetime penalty. So these are all things that human beings are supposed to know. This is information they're supposed to have. And I don't believe that there's anybody out there in the range of our voices today that doesn't want to just actually sit down with a person, talk about it, and then allow the technology to supplement, to enhance what you're doing. But certainly the human element is always going to be prevalent, at least in what we do every day.
And that's why you should give them a call at 866-203-7486. You're going to talk to a human being, not a robot, and not something that is generating facts from the internet, as Sam said before. It's Dual Financial Strategies with that retirement lifestyle review that has that human touch, as Bruce Springsteen would say. 866-203-7486. That's the number. No cost, no obligation, whether you're in Green Bay, Appleton, or in the environs in between, anywhere in the Fox Valley. It's all about your retirement, and they'll take care of that. It's a no cost, no obligation sit down with Sam, Andy, or Luke at Dual Financial Strategies about your retirement. And remember, they are fiduciaries, which means you come first to them. 866-203-7486. We've got to take another break. Sam, what's coming up next?
When you're meeting with a human financial advisor, it's common to feel hesitant about asking certain questions, especially if they seem personal or potentially embarrassing. When we come back, questions people might be reluctant to ask, along with explanations of why they are important for you to address.
Well, we're back on Your Retirement, and this is going to be a very interesting segment here. I'm Chuck Caton, sitting in with Luke Van Abel, Andy Schooler, and of course Sam Duhl of Duhl Financial Strategies, where they give you that retirement lifestyle review. And of course, this show is Your Retirement, and it is unique to you. So you want a very competent human being helping you to and through retirement. And to say the least, Duhl Financial Strategies, Sam, Andy, and Luke can do just that. All right, let's talk about some of the questions you might want to ask your advisor or potential advisor to make sure that they're the right advisor for you, because they will give you that human element and certainly straight talk. So, Sam, let's get down to brass tacks. How many people that have come into your office and have said, how do you get paid?
It's getting to be more common. People are starting to ask this more, and I'm glad that they do. I understand why you hesitate, because generationally, this is a group of people who are not used to asking about how much money you make or how do you get paid. There's a fear of being rude. There's a fear of appearing distrustful. But folks, you need to understand. You need to know, how much do people get paid? How do they get paid? Understanding the compensation structure of your advisor can help reveal potential conflicts of interest and ensure that their advice aligns with what your best interests are. For example, there's basically three different ways that financial advisors will get paid. The first one would be commission only. Well, if they're commission only, that means they're only going to sell one product. They're going to sell either probably front-loaded mutual funds, or they're going to sell variable or fixed annuities. That's about it. That's about the only commission-based products that there are out there. Oh, there's some private placements and real estate investment trusts and stuff. Essentially, 99% of you have no business being in any of those types of investments to begin with, so they don't apply too much. But if they're commission only, that means that every solution is going to have to be aligned with their ability to make a commission. Then there's what we call fee only. Fee only would be they only work off of a fee. It's either going to be a flat fee, or what is most common would be a percentage of the assets under management. They do not do any commission-based products at all. The third would be fee-based, and that would be that they are predominantly fee-based. We are a fee-based, what we would call a fee-based hybrid firm, because we are predominantly fee-based in our office. That is our managed money. We charge a percent of the assets under management on an annual basis in order to give you the entire menu. But we also represent insurance carriers for fixed annuities, for fixed indexed annuities, and if we're doing upper level life insurance planning, that is a commission-based product. That means that we get paid by the insurance company. What you want to ask in that situation is, how does that align with your best interests? Because the advisor has to be able to demonstrate to you, especially if they are a fiduciary, as we are, that there is no inherent conflict of interest in that because of the way that we can structure the portfolios.
All right, we're talking about questions that you want to ask when you walk into Dual Financial Strategies of your advisor. And I think, are some people hesitant, Andy, to ask you what your qualifications are?
Oh, I think there's definitely some hesitancy to ask that. It's an assumption, right? You come in, you're, you know, effectively interviewing somebody to try and have them manage your assets. And I think that it is important to understand what qualifications people hold. What do they focus in on? Who do they work for? Most specifically, like Sam was talking about, we are Series 65 licensed. It means we can do anything that we want to on the market side. We are also life and health licensed. So there isn't really anything that we cannot do. But when you're talking to somebody and interviewing somebody, sometimes those feel like hard questions, but in truth, you do need to know what their qualifications are. it's not like you want to go to the doctor and, you know, need some procedure done and they don't have the right qualifications to do that. And I think there's a, you know, obviously a difference. There's malpractice insurance for a reason. You want to make sure that you're working with someone who knows and understands what the job is, what the task is. I mean, this is what Sam's book is all about. Purpose determines placement. What do you need your money to do? And that is going to dictate where your money should go. But are you working with someone who actually works directly for you? Or do they work for a company first? Because that company is going to have pull over what tools that they can use. Are they a captive agent? Are they a non-captive agent? And this is why we wish that everybody had to be a fiduciary, but it's just not the case. It's not the reality in this time of our lives. So knowing and understanding certifications, education, experience, these are all just components of your retirement plan that, again, you need to be comfortable with who you're working with.
And Luke, I think another question people may be hesitant to ask is explaining investment strategy. I mean, when they sit down with you, you've got to be on the same page when it comes to a lot of things, including risk and your overall portfolio being managed. With what kind of strategy, and I'm sure you can explain that to your clients.
Yeah, I mean, the hesitation here is, you know, what kind of answer are they going to give me? Are they going to give me a bunch of $25 financial words back, which is just going to make my head spin? And therefore, they're like, maybe I don't even want to ask that question because I'm not even going to know what to say back to whatever's being said. But the importance, Chuck, really is ensuring at a fundamental level that your risk tolerance, your appetite for risk matches the overall investment strategy. So you can have the best holdings, the best stocks, the best tool in the world, but if it doesn't match your appetite for risk, then you have no business touching that with a 10-foot pole. The other thing is, what are your financial goals? Do you need income now? How long until you need income? How long until you'll take some big distribution? Those should match up your investment strategy as well. The timeline for all this is critical as well. So work with somebody who's willing to educate you, that's working with you to speak on a level that you can understand what's going on, that will educate you on the different options within the market, because there's strategies ranging from buying and holding different assets to being tactically managed, where there's a team of people overseeing the allocation, your holdings, making investment changes without having to pass go, without having to collect $200 and calling somebody up for them to make those changes, most likely when you sit down for a review. This is just an ongoing management thing. So we run the gamut between all those different strategies, but we'd be happy to educate you because our focus is on people in or near retirement that want to reduce their liability and have adequate income in retirement. So your investment strategy should align with that.
I know we're not going to get through all of these questions, but these are salient questions that you may want to ask your advisor. And Sam, how about this one? What's your track record with clients like me? Have you had somebody ask you that?
We do. And the reason why we do have that question come up, Chuck, I believe, is because we emphasize all the time on this program, on our television show, on our in-person educational events, we emphasize all the time that it has to be a fit. Well, it's very, very interesting to us that because we require that you be a fit for us and you should require that we be a fit for you, many of our clients are the same. They all have very common goals. They have very common directions that they're looking for. And as Luke said, because we identify that and we do not go outside the parameters of that, we tend to attract an audience that is more conservative minded, that they are more concerned with, you know, more concerned with keeping money than they are with losing the money. As my dad would have always said, they'd rather be looking at it than looking for it. And another common phrase that we hear is, I'm more interested in the return of my money than the return on my money. So if you tend to be more of a close to the vest, people that don't overspend tend to be attracted to us. I mean, folks, if you're a high flyer where risk is no, you know, risk is no concern to you, and you're basically spending more money than you can afford to spend, we're not going to be a good fit for you. I can save you a phone call. We're not going to be a good fit for you because we do not live in that world. But if you're the type of person that the return of your money is as important as the return on your money, if you don't want to be looking at massive losses, if you don't want to get into that situation where you're going to be anxious all the time and you want people that are there for you, you might want to give us a call. That's probably a good fit. But yes, you do want to understand that you are like other people we deal with. That means that you're going to be getting the same type of advice that everybody else is sharing.
And finally, Andy, I think a lot of people want a good communication when they're working with a financial planner or retirement planner. So that begs the question, and you probably have gotten it. How do you communicate with me and how many times a year, for example?
Well, that I think is an interesting question. So if you talk to a lot of people when you know what hits the fan, basically, a lot of them have said to us that they feel like their advisor completely goes dark. And I think it's incredibly important in those turbulent times to have even more communication, you know, besides sending out weekly emails by what's going on, besides the additional posts that Sam will do or videos that Sam will do in those times when things are challenging. I think it's incredibly important to have regular reviews of your accounts done, be it on the phone, on a Zoom meeting, in person, whatever you're most comfortable with. And then you sort of get to dictate what makes most sense. Now, with the annuities that we use, those don't change but once a year or once every 2 years. So for the most part, they're a little bit of a hands-off situation. But of course, market money is not. I mean, that's liquid, that's moving, that is doing its deal every day. So there is more hands-on with regards to that. So it kind of comes down to, you know, what level of communication do you need? But I know by and large, we probably have over 25 to 30 different pieces of communication that we are sending out regularly a year to make sure that you have the information that you need and be able to see what we're doing and why we're doing it. And I think that's really the level of communication. It needs to be transparent.
Absolutely true. So Sam, again, put that all in a ball for us and tell us what Dual Financial Strategies can do for our listeners.
Well, it's all about getting your questions answered, and it's all about questions being answered to your satisfaction. That's, folks, it's your retirement. That's why we call this show what we call it and have for so many years. You need to have your questions answered, and you need to be working with people who are not afraid to answer those questions. These are not easy questions a lot of time. You know, who's going to communicate with me? What happens if an account, something happens to you? Are there any conflicts of interest? All of those sorts of things. You need to get those questions answered. So that's what that initial retirement lifestyle review is all about. We're going to have you fill out some information for us. We'll send it to you before the appointment. We'll have you bring in some statements, a tax return that we can glance at while you're there. But it's predominantly designed for you. You're going to do a lot more talking than we are in that first meeting. We are wanting to hear from you. What do you need to know? What are you looking for? Can we help you with what you're going to do? Because if we can't bring a value to your life, then why bother? So make the call, set up a time, come in and see us, and let's just see if we're a mutual fit for each other, and we'll see where that relationship goes.
And it's 866-203-7486. That's the handy toll-free number to reach Sam, Andy, or Luke at Dual Financial Strategies, where you'll get that retirement lifestyle review and a very complete look at what your retirement will look like. In the Green Bay office, the Appleton office, they can meet you there at 866-203-7486. Remember, retirement lifestyle review is at no cost, no obligation, so give them a call. Don't procrastinate. Make that phone call right now, 866-203-7486. Well, it's been a fast-moving show, but there's one more segment, Sam.
One more segment. That's the one that you all wait for. We've got questions from you, and we're going to give you some answers. That and more right after this.
Your retirement continuing with our question and answer period. I'm Chuck Caton, always sitting in with Sam Duell, Luke Van Abel, and Andy Schooler. Duell Financial Strategies is the place where you get your retirement lifestyle review in the Fox Valley, either at their Appleton office or the office in Green Bay, 866-203-7486 to set up at no cost, no obligation. Sit down with each of them. All right, let's go to our first question. And Sam, you're ready to take it, aren't you?
Yeah, I'll take it.
Let's go to Nina. And Clint is there. And he says, should I consider investing in an annuity or stick to my long-term stocks if I don't like the unreliability of the market?
Oh, well, that's an interesting question, Clint. One with no definitive answer. I guess it would depend for me on what your what your hesitation is in the market, or what it is that you don't like about the unreliability of the market. And going back to the title of the book and what we talk about all the time, Purpose Determines Placement, what would the purpose of the long-term stocks be? Are you trying to get those to generate income? Are they designed strictly for capital appreciation? What is the purpose of owning those stocks? And what is it about the unreliability of the market right now, which I don't disagree with you on that point. What is it about that unreliability that makes you question your long-term stocks that you've held? Looking at an annuity. Annuities are usually purchased for one of two different reasons. They'll either be purchased for income, so that you have a guaranteed income source, although we do find that's becoming less and less prevalent. In our experience, at least, the people that come in and see us, their primary purpose in purchasing an annuity, and let me clarify this, I'm talking about fixed or fixed indexed annuities. I'm not talking about variable annuities. Their primary interest in purchasing a fixed or a fixed indexed annuity is A, either a guaranteed return on their money, or protection from downward stock market cycles. So basically what you said there, Clint, is they want to protect the downward cycles of the market, but they'd still like to be able to participate in some upside potential when the market produces it. People might look at something like a fixed indexed annuity in order to do that. So it really depends upon what your whole goal is. What's the purpose of the money? But in today's environment, we are seeing a higher number of people this year. I'm not sure exactly why. I believe it's because people are uncertain about our economy. I believe that they don't have a lot of faith in our government system right now. They're anxious about the coming elections. We are seeing more people that are asking about annuities and that are actually leaning more towards fixed and fixed indexed annuities, more as a protection mechanism against any sort of a harsh market downturn as anything else. So certainly all of those options are available for you.
All right, let's go to Rhonda in Green Bay, and this one's for you, Andy. Rhonda says, I've heard that you can use a health savings account, an HSA, to help you in retirement. So how does that work, and what kind of benefits does it provide in retirement?
Hi, Rhonda. Yes, if you have been participating in a health savings account or HSA, that means contributing money to that account, those monies can be used for anything that is medically related. So you go to Walgreens, Walmart, whatever your preferred pharmacy is, you can buy your prescriptions, your medications, your medical supplies there, and use your HSA account, and then you keep that money tax-free. So that's the caveat to HSA money, is that it's kind of like a Roth, and as long as you use it for medical stuff, then doctor's appointments, co-pays, et cetera, then that money remains tax-free, and you can continue to build that as long as you're working and have taxable dollars going into that account, then you can continue to put money into that account and build that up. Now, I've heard some studies suggest that you should have somewhere between $200,000 and $250,000 of money set aside for the ancillary expenses that are not covered by Medicare, not covered by your usual insurance, and things that are just outside the realm, but you still have to pay for it. And so those can be used generally by an HSA if it's, again, medically necessary or that you need it for medical reasons. But they can be a really handy tool to have.
All right, let's go to Appleton now. And Luke Tracy wants to know, as a 56-year-old and currently going through a divorce, my husband usually handles the finances, so I'm a little bit nervous about how to handle things myself, even though I'll be getting a substantial sum of money from the divorce. So how should I go about getting set up on my own?
Hi, Tracy. Sorry to hear about the divorce. And it sounds like you're in uncharted territory here with your husband handling the finances. Just met with someone this week, not a divorce situation, but husband handled the money. Wife really had no knowledge of money. And the reason they were in the office is that she wants help should something happen to the husband. So I think the first question for you, back to you, is, you know, do you want to make these day-to-day decisions ultimately on your own? You'd asked at the end, you know, how do I do this on my own? You know, do you want to be determining what you should buy and sell? Do you want to be determining the income and the timing of that and the taxes and, all the other decisions that go into this. If not, then my encouragement to you would be to start interviewing somebody and to find someone that you can trust to help you with this, because you haven't been doing this before. This is a big responsibility going into retirement. There's more decisions now than there's ever been, you know, growth and accumulation. There's a lot less decisions to be made now. You know, you may want an advocate in your corner. And if you do, you know, I highly recommend that you find an independent firm like Dual Financial Strategies. There are others out there, though, that's got no allegiance to who they work with. You also want to find a fiduciary-based firm that's going to work in your best interest. And then, just like we've been talking about in the last few segments, write down your questions. You probably have a lot of them just because this is new to you. Write those down. What are your concerns? Write those down. What are the goals you have for the future? And then call into the office. We'd love to spend some time with you, have you talk to us about those particular areas. And we can go from there to determine whether we can help and what a plan might look like.
All right. And that number is 866-203-7486 that Luke alluded to. That's 866-203-7486. Our final question comes from JC in Menasha. And Sammy wants to know, as a 54-year-old with a wife that's 10 years older, we've got $4 million of net worth, but I'm not working right now. But I want to make sure we're covering our bases here. So will that come back to bite us in retirement? Is that enough money? Well, again, this is like that Suze Orman type thing. Is there a rule of thumb on this thing?
There isn't a specific rule of thumb, JC. You know, you got to figure here, if you're 54, you easily could be in retirement for, you could be in retirement for 40 years. I mean, easily. Your wife has probably got at least, you know, 30, 35 years to go. Is $4 million enough? Well, therein lies the rub. You know, if you guys spend $25,000 a month, that's $300,000 a year. Well, you'd be drawing 7.5% on an annual basis against your $4,000 nest egg, and you're wanting that to last for 40 years. You might not make it, because if you got 7.5%, now we got to figure out taxes and all that sort of stuff. You probably are drawing too hard against that portfolio. Your expectations of the return that you could get on that may not be realistic. Let's say you're drawing $15,000 a month. That's $180,000 a year. Well, now you're down to 4.5% of the portfolio. That's getting more tenable, but that still would be right on the edge of what I would say would be prudent. I would tell you that personally, I would not be comfortable going into retirement with a 4.5% known draw and hoping that it lasted for 40 years. But if you're like a lot of the people in our area, you're spending about $8,000 a month. That's $96,000 a year. That's a 2.4% draw ratio against your portfolio. Now you're into an area where you're totally comfortable. I mean, think about it. You can get upper 4% on a CD right now. Cripes, you could take the money, put it into a CD, and be making probably, if not twice as much, quite a little bit more than what you're spending. That's the type of planning you have to be doing, JC, and that's actually the base that you need to cover. The first thing you've got to establish is, what are your spending habits? How much money do you have going out the door versus how much money you're going to have coming in the door? Because you're still quite a ways from even being able to qualify for Social Security. A lot of different answers here. It's not as easy as, oh, I've got this much money. I'm this age. I'm spending this much. Can I make it? No, there's a myriad of other questions that have to come into play there. You're on the right track. $4 million is a very nice amount of net worth. And the only other thing I would say is, sometimes we have people who are saying, hey, I've got a net worth of $4 million. You have investable assets of $1.5 million, and then your cottage and your home and all the other stuff you own is worth $2.5 million. The bad news in that, folks, is that you can't eat your primary residence, and you can't eat your cottage or your lake home. The net worth that you have in real estate, in all reality, if it's not income producing in retirement, is of absolutely no value to you at all. As a matter of fact, it's probably a liability, because you're paying taxes, you're paying maintenance costs against it. You never want to take recreational or primary home real estate and figure it into your net worth when you're going into retirement, because that is not a monetary asset. That is an income. That is a an a draining asset because it costs you to own those things. So also be really aware of what is net worth. The only thing that really matters is what do you have that is an income producing asset that's available to you to put money into your checking account.
Absolutely. And the only way you would be able to eat your residence is maybe at Christmas time if it was a gingerbread house. But
maybe. That, but then you don't got any place to live. So now what are you going to do?
I knew you'd say that. Well, that's why Sam Duell, Andy Schooler, and Luke Van Abel are going to treat you right. And they know all the angles here about retirement. And that's what you want. From Duell Financial Strategies. They've got over a quarter of a century of wonderful experience to help people in the Fox Valley with a retirement lifestyle review. So give them a call at 866-203-7486. That's 866-203-7486. They've got an office in Green Bay, one in Appleton. So they serve you here in the Fox Valley and serve you very well. Once again, it's 866-203-7486. And when you meet with them, remember, you've got a no-cost, no-obligation sit-down with them to discuss your retirement, because it's all about the individuality of what you need. Sam, it's been a great show. Your final thoughts?
No cost, no obligation, Chuck, but also no pressure. It is a zero pressure meeting. We'll find out if you're a fit for us. We'll tell you. If we're not a fit for you, we'll tell you that too. We hope to hear from you soon.
Investment advisory services offered through Duell Financial Strategies, LLC, a Wisconsin registered investment advisor. Duell Financial Strategies does not provide legal or tax advice. Investment advisor representatives of Duell Financial Strategies may only conduct business with residents of the states and jurisdictions in which they are properly registered. Insurance and annuity products are sold through Duell Financial Strategies.